For a moment the affinity link wavered, and he saw a ring of villagers gazing down in dismay. Hands reached out to steady him. Vorix had frozen in pain and shock. There was no feeling at all from one of his hind legs. The dog squirmed round on the rucked loam. His leg was lying on the bloody grass, twitching and jerking. Lawrence cut the second hind leg off with his fisher knife. Blood hissed and steamed as it bubbled over the radiant yellow blade. Both of Pole's legs were being squeezed by tourniquets made from bands of ice. He fell leadenly to sit on his rump, breath wheezing out of parched lips. His thigh muscles were spasming uncontrollably. The fishing blade penetrated Warwick's left mandible joint, skewering through muscle, bone, and gristle. Its tip emerged into the back of his mouth, severing a large portion of the tongue. Pole started to gag, fighting for breath. His whole body was shaking wildly. He vomited weakly down his beard. Vorix was emitting a harrowing whining from his ruined jaw. Sallow eyes rolled around, glazed with pain, trying to find his tormentor. Lawrence aimed a blow at each of his forelegs, slicing clean through the knees, leaving the dog with stumps. At the far end of a murky, walled tunnel, Pole saw the sandy-haired teenager walk round in front of the dog. He spat on Vorix's squat muzzle. "Not so fucking smart now, are you?" Lawrence shouted. Pole could barely hear him. His voice sounded as though it was coming from the bottom of a deep, rocky shaft. "Want to play chase again, doggy?" Lawrence did a little jig, laughing. Vorix's stumps knocked feebly against the soil in a parody of walking. The sight sent him off into another bout of laughter. "Walkies! Come on, walkies!" Pole groaned with helpless fury. The affinity bond was weakening, stretching the dog's pain-lashed thoughts to a tenuous thread. He coughed some of the bile out of his mouth. "I know you can hear me, Manani, you super-fuck," Lawrence called. "And I hope your heart's bleeding out through those cuts. I'm not going to kill your hound, not all quick and clean and neat. No, I'm going to leave him here rolling round in his own shit and piss and blood. That way you'll feel him dying the whole time, however long it takes. I like that idea, 'cause you really love this dog. God's brother always takes his retribution on those who displease him. Vorix is kind of like an omen, see? I did this to a dog. Think what Quinn's gonna do to you." It was raining steadily when Jay led Sango, Pole Manani's beige horse, from the lean-to at the back of the supervisor's cabin which served as a stable. Mr. Manani had been true to his word back on the Switherland. He had let her groom Sango and helped feed him and take him for exercise. 2 months ago, when the frantic urgency which governed Aberdale while the cabins were going up and the fields were being levelled had abated, he had taught her how to ride. Aberdale wasn't quite the dreamy rural existence she had expected, but it was pretty nice in its own fashion, and Sango played a huge part in making it right. Jay knew one thing: she didn't want to go back to any arcology. Or at least she hadn't before today. Something had happened out in the jungle this morning that none of the adults would talk about. She and all the other kids knew that Carter was dead. They'd been told that much. But there had been the awful fight down by the jetty, and a lot of the women had cried, the men too, though they tried to hide it. Then 20 minutes ago Mr. Manani had some kind of dreadful drawn-out fit, howling and panting as he keeled about. Things had quietened down after that. There had been a meeting in the hall, and afterwards people had gone back to their cabins. Now, though, she could see them congregating in the centre of the village again. They were all dressed like they did when they went hunting. Everyone seemed to be carrying a weapon. She knocked on the front stanchion of Mr. Manani's cabin. He came out, dressed in navy blue jeans, a green and blue check shirt, and a fawn waistcoat that held a lot of cylindrical power magazines for laser rifles. He carried a couple of slate-grey tubes 50 centimetres long, with pistol grips at one end. She had never seen them before, but she knew they were weapons. Their eyes met for a moment, then Jay looked at the muddy ground. "Jay?" She glanced up. "Listen, honey, the Iwets have been bad, very bad. They're all funny in their heads." Like waster kids in the arcologies, you mean?